Clinton, our favorite political humorist, is here to give us her annual reflection about the crazy roller coaster ride of 2017 and give us her spin about what 2018 may bring our LGBTQ community. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
With the recent state election wins, do you feel more hopeful about the midterm elections coming up next year in 2018?
You know, with victory in Alabama and the victory in Virginia, I really am excited. And I think that what's happening is all of the resistance that rose up after the election and inauguration and the march and all of that, I think what we're doing and what we're seeing is that we are taking the next step after resistance, which is electoralizing it. You know, I haven't seen hard numbers, but I think that it really shows that people are organizing at the grassroots level, and they're not just not like helicoptering in a few days before and saying, you got to do this. I mean, there's a sincere presence. People are working in their own communities, and I find that really, really exciting.
What is your reaction to the Me Too movement?
I think the Me Too movement is really for someone who's been a feminist and an activist for a number of years. It's sort of like a dream come true. I'm sorry for the reason that it rises up, but I think it's wonderful that women are coming forward, and they're coming forward in such numbers to talk about their sexual harassment and rape that they've experienced and that they've hidden for so long. So I am really excited. It's like a coming out, and it's the coming out of women telling their stories. And in a way, I think that, you know, I have in my date book from 2017, every time I open it, it says, I can't believe we're still protesting this shit. But whatever it takes, we are. I mean, I think the Women's March last January, the day after the inauguration, was a visible representation of the resistance. And I really think it was a tipping point. And the great news is that it keeps going, and it causes more women to come forward. And like Kristen Gillibrand demanding that Trump step down like a couple of days before the Alabama election really put the spotlight again on Roy Moore and his past with abusing young women. I just think there's a whole lot of talk about collusion, but I think this collusion is a good kind of collusion. And I'm really excited about it. And it seems to have legs, which is great. I mean, I don't think it's a flash in the pan. I think it really shows a whole lot of organizing that's happening. And also another generation of people, young people, that are just not happening. And I heard a great story about a young woman who was in her evangelical church in the northern Alabama, and she said, young people are just leaving in droves because it's not, they're hearing things that they absolutely don't agree with. So I do feel like it's a very exciting moment.
What is your spin on the first year of 45?
It's only been a year. It seems like even longer, some days more than others. I think it's been a year of chaos and unpredictability. For comedians everywhere, it's been just a flush and flurry of way too much material, which I would happily give up and do dog and kitty jokes. I would happily do that. I think the problem with the malignant narcissist that we have for president number 45 is that the press can't, they keep falling for it. They keep going toward the shiny object. And I don't know if it is an intentional strategy, the commander in chief, or just what happens around him all the time, because he's just such a troublemaker. I don't know if it's intentional or not intentional, but what it does is takes away our attention to things that are happening throughout the Trump administration. You know, jobs are not being filled. We don't have ambassadors anywhere. We haven't gotten around to filling those really critical jobs. I think what the Interior Department is doing, getting rid of, you know, public lands, and it's just for, they just want to, you know, mine it and drill it and take every good thing out of it. That is happening. FEMA, feeble, FEMA, and the, just to watch what's happened in Puerto Rico, which is a part of the United States, I think we are not enough paying attention to that kind of thing. And we're just sort of, once again, just focused and, you know, drawn, addicted to this kind of, the shiny, pretty thing that goes by. So sometimes it's wonderfully entertaining, but I just think we're falling into a trap. We really have to pull back and look at the bigger picture that we're missing, you know, the deregulation now that's happening in the financial world, the, you know, this tax plan. But it's hard to kind of focus on that because it changes overnight. But I think that that is that kind of chaos and just disgust and contempt for any rule of law, and the focus on Trump keeps us from seeing other things. So that's been my experience of this chaotic year.
Have you discovered any survival techniques you'd like to share getting through all of this?
Some of my survival techniques, not Chardonnay. I haven't had Chardonnay with Hillary, although she's been hitting it kind of hard, she said, which is fine with me. I have not eaten like this since Trump. I would like to know the cumulative weight gain of the country, because this place, you just like can't move. It's like comfort food, please, please. But I actually have a couple of things. We have a rule at our house when we have a dinner that we can only talk like 5 or 10 minutes about Trump, and then we have to stop. And then at the end of the dinner, everyone has to kind of go around and say something good that's happened. So don't want to put the sharp knives out for a dinner party. So we try to do that. And then I also some days just have a no Trump day and kind of detox, and that's important for the soul. But, you know, the most important thing is to keep moving and to get involved in something. I feel like I, right after the election, I was involved in a whole bunch of things, and I've kind of narrowed them down to what I'm interested in doing and, you know, being part of the resistance. So actually people get together and share what they do, you know, talk about what their techniques are, and that's helpful too. But, you know, living well is the best revenge.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration? Even today, I saw something about the religious exemptions that might be used against us in our health care.
I think that the LGBTQ community moving through this Trump administration, and may it be shortened, you can all pray for that. You know, I think that the recent Masterpiece Cake Shop case heard before the Supreme Court is a demonstration of how they really would like, you know, the religious freedoms, you know, your sincerely held religious beliefs, which are always Christian. They're not Muslim beliefs. They're not Jewish beliefs. They're Christian beliefs. How dangerous that is that you would decide the cake shop case as if it were about religious freedom, but it's really not. I think it's using religious to justify discrimination. And it's really about privileging religion over the law of the land. And the law really says that the cake shop is free to sell whatever it wants. The cake decorators, I had no idea. They were just so up on their own artistic incredibleness. But, I mean, they are free to sell whatever they want, but they're not free to decide who they can sell it to. I just think that this could open a floodgate to set back progress of civil rights. You know, I think that we kid ourselves thinking that we've won over hearts and minds of people who have neither. But and so I think we have to be very vigilant. Again, we've seen it in the Quiet to Life movement. I mean, they just keep chipping away. So I think that would be the technique. I am amused by Republicans who met a gay person and suddenly thought, oh, they're human beings. I mean, what about the power of empathy or even imagination that you actually have to meet someone to have an idea that all people should be given freedom and respect and the same justice, equal justice? So, I mean, I just think we have to be very vigilant.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's administration?
You know, it's a great question. I'm always glad that you ask it. Do a shout out for young LGBTQ teens. I was a high school English teacher. I think that we have wonderful organizations that are reaching out and having places where young people can come. But I think it's very important to talk to schools, parents, and teachers. And my advice to them would be to pay attention to, you know, if you see something, say something, as we say in New York, and to really listen and pay attention to the conversations going on between kids. You just cannot turn a blind eye and act as if you didn't hear something. So I was talking to somebody who works in a charter school, and I just was stunned about the things that they are not allowed to talk about. And, you know, the things that can fester and never be dealt with, it was just staggering to me. You know, there was an altercation in the school ground. Somebody had called somebody something. And I said, well, what did you do? And this guy that was the teacher said, well, we can't talk about it. You know, I always loved when people would say, we educate the whole child. And I would always think, well, that's who's coming to school. Let's do that. I don't have children that I know of. So I would definitely, my focus would be to talk to teachers and talk, you know, and make sure that my friends who are parents are paying attention to tell me what's going on in their kids' school.
How can people get information about your appearances?
People can find out about me through social media, of course. They can go to my website, kayclinton.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. And if they send me personal checks with their names on them, I will certainly get back in touch with them.
What new projects are you working on?
Well, I'm always writing, and as I said before, you know, there's plenty of new material, and I just am trying to keep up. I found this past summer when I was working in Provincetown was so interesting. You know, in other summers, if I did anything political in my show, it was like a news story because nobody had really caught up during the day. Cell phones didn't work at the beach. But this summer, you know, the 10 minutes that it took me to ride my bike into work, and I would get at the parking lot and somebody would say, are you going to do anything about Turkey and what they said about Turkey? I was like, what happened? So, you know, there's tons of material. It's a blessing and a curse. So I keep kind of trying to ride herd on that. And I'm waiting to hear about a collection of essays that I've written. Some have been published, some not. I'm waiting to hear about that. I'd love to get working on that. And I'm doing work with LPAC, Lesbian Political Action Committee. So I've been doing their annual Levity and Justice comedy show in New York and doing other work with them, part of my activism, and also to keep the L word, the word lesbian, out there. I think it's important before it goes away entirely. And I've also... there was a moment there, somebody said, you haven't watched Stranger Things, so I did watch it. So in my spare time, I'm practicing my telekinesis. I'm just able to move small things so far, but I'll let you know.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I do have a favorite. I seem to have a different one every year, but this year I've noticed I keep saying to myself, look up. And I do thank Angels in America, of course, but look up, first of all, to look away from whatever device I'm looking at. I was on the subway the other day, and I looked around, and every single person was just, like, it looked like they were nodding off, but their face was uplifted. So I tell my nieces and nephews, my great nieces and nephews now, to go into chiropractic is going to be needed. So, I mean, I look up and look at a bigger fan of history, and it does seem to help. And I mean, it's not always just looking back, but, you know, it's looking forward and maintaining a kind of optimism. So I would say my mantra lately is look up.